on this episode of Rev Hang.
Yes, the street circuit is very street circuit. You've heard of the Bottas bowling lap. Have you heard of the Verstappen angry lap?
The West Coast is on fire right now, so there's that.
Let's talk about McLaren's strategy for the Hungary Grand Prix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I am Nathan, and alongside me, virtually across the airwaves, is my good friend and co-host, Ben. How are you doing today, Ben?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Had a little bit of a late day at work, but I've just been kind of, you know, working away at chores and working on my audio system that I've been putting together. I've been trying to make the best audio system of 2010 for as cheap as possible.
Yes, you mentioned that a little bit last episode, a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. It's been a while.
It has been a while. A lot has happened in the world in a couple of weeks. Not getting into politics, because that's not what this podcast is.
Feel free to not elaborate.
The West Coast is on fire right now, so there's that. Once again, it's like the 17th year in a row. Not really, but like literally the fifth. So
had a little bit of a break last year, but it's been rough.
Yeah, so there is that. But this is not an arsonist podcast. This is a racing podcast. So
the implication that the wildfires have all been caused intentionally.
Yeah, well, they have caught people starting stuff earlier this year, even just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, gotta love living here where people decide that burning things is the way to go. Anyway, again, not an arsonist podcast. We have four races to go over this week, and we are going to rip through them. Ben told me off a screen that we were going to spend 10 minutes talking about how short this podcast was going to be. So let's not do that. And let's jump into paddock news and start with our first little bit. In IndyCar, Alexander Rossi has been replaced by Teo Porcher. He was replaced for the Grand Prix in Toronto after an accident in practice. And I don't know how long he'll be out. If it's a hand injury, it could be for maybe a month-ish. So he could be out for another couple races. So Teo Porcher was fired by McLaren and then quickly rehired.
If I had a nickel for every time a McLaren driver had an injury and then they had to hire Teo Porcher to fill in for the race car driver for one or more races, I would have two nickels.
Which isn't a lot, but it's weird that
it's that it's happened twice.
Ben, our resident meme lord, on point as always. Moving on, Kevin Magnussen has announced that he will not return to race for Haas in 2025. Probably not his decision, but I think the right one for Haas. I think K-Mag has had his time. He's had his chance in the sport. He got a second chance in the sport and has not done too much with it, at least not as much as Hülkenberg. So,
back to Weck with you.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's where his father got a lot of his racing success in WEC and Rally, I think. So I could definitely see him racing at Le Mans and in World Endurance in general. That would be awesome. But anyway, that's all for paddock news. There really wasn't that much this go around, which is weird because we had a 2-week break or a 1-week break. So let's move into the first IndyCar race and go through the top 10 in qualifying. This is the first race at Iowa. I did lie to Ben last week and told him there was going to be one qualifying session for two races. That's how it has been in the past, but that is not how it was this year. So
it's
I apologize,
fine.
Ben.
It's whatever.
So
let's
for the first race.
Is right twice a week.
Right, no, same. Yeah.
Continue.
For sure. top 10 in qualifying for the first race at Iowa Speedway was Colton Herta on pole position, followed by Scott McLaughlin and Alex Palou, with Will Power and Scott Dixon in 4th and 5th. 6th through 10 were O'Ward, Rossi, Ferrucci, Armstrong, and Ericsson.
You absolutely love to see an Andretti car in pole position on an old
one. Yeah, it's a rare occurrence. All right. Going into the race, we're going to keep this pretty brief. Colton Herta led most of the race until a poorly timed caution ruined his chances, and McLaughlin led the rest of the race. And that is all that happened. Not really, but it's an oval, so I'm not going to go through every overtake. That'd be kind of ridiculous.
Yep.
Just the highlights. Going into the results of the race, first place was Scott McLaughlin, followed by Pato O'Ward and Joseph Newgarden on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Dixon and VK. VK with his first big result of the season. 6 to 10, we had Ferrucci, Kirkwood, Rossi, Erickson, and Armstrong. 11 through 15 were Herta, Siegel, Rosenqvist, Simpson, and Robb. 16 through 20 were Ray Hall, Legg, Power, Fittipaldi, and Carpenter. And 21 through 27, rounding off the order, were Lundqvist, Lundgaard, Palou, Grosjean, Harvey, Malukas, and Canepino. I believe that everybody from 19th down did not finish the race. So, there is that. Second Iowa race, top 10 in qualifying were McLaughlin on pole position, followed by Alex Palou and Scott Dixon. Fourth and fifth were Herta and Rosenqvist. 6th through 10 were Rossi, O'Ward, Ray Hall, Malukas, and Canepino. 11th through 15 were Siegel, Kirkwood, Lundqvist, Newgarden, and VK. 16th through 20 were Grosjean, Fittipaldi, Harvey. I'm going way past the top 10, but it's fine. Lundgaard, and Ferrucci. And I guess we'll just finish it off while we're here. 21 through 27 were Stingray Robb, Marcus Ericsson, Will Power, Kiffin Simpson, Catherine Legg, Marcus Armstrong, and Ed Carpenter. I don't know how Ed Carpenter is still racing in this sport, but he is in his own team.
He wasn't last in the first Iowa race, so, I mean, I guess
this is true.
Good for him. I mean, yeah, whatever happened to that Newgarden guy who was really good last year? Is he still racing in F1 or in IndyCar, or did he go somewhere else?
I think he's still in IndyCar, but... I haven't seen him much recently.
Yeah, it feels like I haven't seen him at all.
He was on the podium in the first race, but we're not going to talk about that. All right. Race highlights.
He's supposed to be winning these races.
This is true. He swept Iowa like the last 2 years, I think. So, I think O'Ward won in 2022. He won one of them. But...
there's a reason his nickname is the King of Corn.
Yes, indeed. he did win the first race of this season on track. But then he was disqualified. He did also win the Indy 500, which I keep forgetting.
Oh, shit.
He did. But yeah. All right. Second Iowa race. Palou and Power swapped the lead back and forth for most of the race. It was actually pretty feisty at the front. Palou ended up on... he had some weird pit stuff happen with cautions and ended up dropping behind Power. And Power was able to lead the rest of the race. And on the last lap, after the leaders had crossed the finish line already, Stingray Robb had a massive aerial crash with Alex Rossi on the last lap of the race.
Rossi just deciding to lift on the high line?
I think he was out of fuel, but yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, crashed into the back of Rossi and went skyward.
And yeah, took a bunch of people out rolls. With him.
Yeah, it was a pretty scary crash, and he was fine, and he was back racing in Toronto, so.
Yeah, aero screen for the win.
Aero screen for the win, indeed. Without that aero screen, we probably would have lost Stingray Robb and Kyle Kirkwood, because Ed Carpenter ended up on top of Kyle Kirkwood after that crash.
Crazy.
Pretty nuts. All right, results of the race. First five were Power, Palou, McLaughlin, Dixon, and Herta. 6 through 10 were O'Ward, Newgarden, Ray Hall, VK, and Grosjean. 11 through 15 were Ferrucci, Lundqvist, Malukas, Siegel, and Rossi. 16 through 20 were Kirkwood, Lundgaard, Simpson, Armstrong, and Fittipaldi. 21 through 27 running off the finishers were Stingray Robb, Ed Carpenter, Marcus Ericsson, Catherine Legg, Augustine Canepino, Felix Rosenqvist, and Connor Daly. Who is back. Back like he never left.
I completely missed that.
DNFing 44 laps into the race.
Nice.
Yeah, classic. So those were the two Iowa races. Let's move on to Toronto.
This is a pretty good race.
This was a good race. Very good track. Very street circuity, obviously.
Yes, the street circuit is very street circuit.
Yes. Qualifying the top 10 were Colton Herta, Kyle Kirkwood, Felix Rosenqvist, Scott McLaughlin, Roman Grosjean, David Malukas, Joseph Newgarden, Graham Rahal, Will Power, and Agustin Canapino. Going into the race, Colton Herta dominated the entire weekend, topping every single session. He led the entire race whilst dodging chaos behind him, with most of the drivers getting caught up in different incidents, including O'Ward, Ericsson, Seagull, Porcher, Will Power, Scott Dixon, Canapino, Grosjean, like everybody.
Yeah.
So everybody had a bit of a hectic race except for Herta and Kirkwood at the front. And yeah, speaking of Herta,
I know I look tired, but I'm actually very excited about this result for this race.
Yeah. The biggest Colton Herta fan out there.
I wouldn't go that far. But...
I don't know about that. Anyway, so results of the race. Speaking of Herta and Kirkwood, almost just combined their names.
Kirkwood.
You can tell we are very awake right now. Colton Herta won the race, followed by Kirkwood and Dixon. Pillow and Armstrong were fourth and fifth. Marcus Armstrong is having a good season and really making a name for himself. That's awesome. 6 through 10 were Malukas, Lundgaard, VK, Grosjean, and Rahal. 11 through 15 were Newgarden, Power, Lundqvist, Porcher, and Savary. 16 through 20 were McLaughlin, O'Ward, Ericsson, Fittipaldi, and Ferrucci. 21 through 27 were Seagull, Simpson, Rosenqvist, McElroy, Rob, Canapino, and Rasmussen. How many DNFs did we have? So Scott McLaughlin... So from 16 to 27, everybody DNF'd.
Really?
So we had 15 finishers. Pretty wild. All right. So let's talk about some IndyCar before we move on to F1. Pato O'Ward, he was right up there in the championship hunt, and then we had three races back-to-back, and now he is falling back. He was second in the championship. He is now fifth at 340 points, a whole 71 points behind Alex Pillow in first.
Yeah, Alex Pillow is still way up there, but that 3-4-5 gap, not 2-3-4-5 gap, is insanely small.
Yeah, for sure. Alex Pillow is currently 49 points ahead of Will Power in the championship, which is almost a full race win. Which means that if he wins in St. Louis and outscores Power and Dixon, most likely, in Portland, he will probably win the championship in Portland.
Another Pillow win in Portland.
Yeah. So, yeah. Cool stuff there. And then we'll have Nashville as the season finale. That doesn't mean anything.
So. Hey, I'm still pulling for Herta or O'Ward to get to that front of the stack.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Oh? Colton Herta could actually qualify for a super license if he stays where he is right now. He's up there in the standings. He's getting there. So that would be pretty cool with Andretti trying to get into the sport.
Yeah, the first year that Andretti gives him a solid race strategy and a fast car most weekends, and he's finally cooled down enough, and then he immediately jumps into F1.
Right. Yeah. So Herta is doing much better this season than he has in previous seasons.
He's been up there, either qualifying pole or finishing really well, despite numerous setbacks.
Yeah. I mean, he is the unluckiest driver in IndyCar for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's having a great season. Will Power is having a good season, too. This last few races, though, he has been a little crash-happy. Not with himself, but by taking other people out of the race. Just absolutely punting people into the wall several times over the course of the last, like, five races.
Yeah, do what you gotta do. This is a championship.
I guess so. And channeling his inner Max Verstappen. I guess that's an old meme. Max is, well, I'd say Max is
not an old meme anymore. It's back, baby.
He's back. We'll talk about that later, too. And then Agustin Canapino is having a rough go of it. He's not finishing a lot of races right now. way down in the standings, probably will get dropped by JHR, if I were to guess, at the end of the year. I think his... How do I word this? He isn't his only problem. I'll put it that way. yeah, so anyway, going through the standings, not much.
Can I just say that Scott Dixon has been also so consistent?
Yep, he is third in the championship right behind. He literally pit
for fuel like three laps after everyone else did.
Yeah.
In Toronto.
Scott Dixon is...
I don't know how, but if everybody could drive like Scott Dixon, I think global warming would be far less of an issue. That guy gets 40 miles of... Like, that guy could get 40 miles to gallon out of any truck.
Yeah. He is the master of fuel saving.
Crazy.
Very good, very good. Pillow is really good at tires, and he's really good at fuel. But Pillow is just... Pillow's another level. Guy's a robot.
Just such a strong team.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Formula One and the Hungarian Grand Prix, otherwise known as the Netflix Drive to Survive Grand Prix of 2024. This was all drama, no action in this race. So we've
heard of the Bottas bowling lap. Have you heard of the Verstappen angry lap?
Which one?
All of them.
Yeah. So this race was full of spicy soap opera drama, which we will go into. So let's get through the highlights and stuff. First, in qualifying, top 10 were Norris, Piastri, Verstappen, Sainz, Hamilton, Leclerc, Alonso, Stroll, Ricciardo, and Tsunoda. Lando with another pole position this year. Going into the race, Piastri managed to pass Norris into turn one. Lando Norris is probably the worst person at starts in the entire grid, which is tragic. That guy cannot maintain a lead into turn one to save his life. But anyway, Verstappen also passed Norris, but it was off the track and he had to give the position back. Alonso dropped through the field like a brick after having a very good qualifying. He got passed by everybody and their dogs. Hamilton passed Verstappen on pit strategy early on. Lando Norris pit on lap 46, undercutting Piastri and taking the lead the next lap. McLaren then told Norris to give the position back to Piastri since it was McLaren's call to pit Norris first. But Lando waited as long as possible to do so, just to prove a point, and we will definitely talk about this. On lap 63, Verstappen dove down the inside of Hamilton, and they made contact, sending Verstappen airborne briefly and dropping him to P5. He was very lucky he did not DNF after that incident. I don't know how there was no damage to the car, or at least drivable damage.
No visible, yeah.
Yeah. On lap 67, Lando finally let Piastri pass him again. And on lap 70, Piastri crossed the finish line in first place, winning his very first Formula One race, if you don't count the sprints.
And he sounded so excited about it.
Well, we all knew that he would be cool, calm, and collected, but I suspect that... we'll talk about the drama. So, results of the race. First five were Piastri, Norris, Hamilton, Leclerc, and Verstappen. 6 through 10 were Sainz, Perez, Russell, Tsunoda, and Stroll. Sergio Perez with a fantastic race, finishing 7th.
Weird. What did...
Oh,
wait,
how the mighty
on.
Have fallen.
I think I just spaced out. What did you just say?
I just said Perez had a fantastic race, managing to finish 7th place.
What does it come to?
Yeah, right. And then 10 through 15 were Stroll, Alonso, Ricciardo, Hülkenberg, Albon, and Magnussen. 16 through 19, running off the finishers, were Bottas, Sargeant, Ocon, and Zhou. And Pierre Gasly had a mechanical DNF.
Yep, some kind of hydraulic issue that they said in one pass-off sentence, and then that was it.
Yep. If I had a nickel for every time Pierre Gasly had a mechanical failure leading to a DNF, I'd have actually quite a few nickels.
Yeah.
Yes, I forgot to add these talking points, but there are many to go through. So, First off, let's talk about Max Verstappen.
What about Max Verstappen?
What about Max Verstappen? Indeed, the guy seems to be falling apart at the seams a little bit, especially this race.
Bro's not happy.
Yeah, it's been kind of sliding downhill the last few races. Not only the performance of the Red Bull, but also Verstappen's attitude. And it all kind of came to a head here in Hungary. The car was not good. That was very clear. He could not get the setup to work for him whatsoever. And he spent his entire race and 90% of his effort and waking energy screaming at his race engineer. who was kind of sending it right back at him and calling him childish.
Sassy.
And
yeah.
Yeah, it was...
He deserved it, for sure.
He did. I mean, Max definitely needed to be put in his place there. It was not a good look for Verstappen, and reminded me a lot of the pre-2021 Verstappen.
I was going to say, yeah, like 2019 Verstappen.
Yeah.
The guy who would just dive bomb any corner possible to see if he could make it stick and crash out the person next to him.
Yeah. The old Verstappen seems to be back. It's kind of crazy that this has seemed to coincide with him not having far and away the best car on the grid. I don't know how bad the Red Bull is, but it can't be very good right now, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Verstappen's really quick, but the car must be really bad.
Seems like he's been complaining about grip levels literally the past half season at least.
Yeah. The first half of the season
was fine. Seems like something changed in the car, and I don't know, something about the tire setup or the suspension setup is just wrong now.
Well, it's interesting that
you're having an Aston Martin moment.
Yeah. Red Bull has, this race, they put on a ton of upgrades, like their base upgrade package of the season so far. And all of a sudden, the car seems to be borderline undrivable for Verstappen. Oddly enough, Perez seems to have had a better time.
What are you suggesting?
I don't know what I'm suggesting, Nathan. I don't know what I'm suggesting. I really don't know that I'm suggesting anything. What do you think
suggesting?
I'm suggesting
that Red Bull built Perez the car in this upgrade package. He said, "This one's for you, Perez. This one's for you, Checo. Sorry, it's been rough.
I don't know.
This one's just for you."
The only thing I can think of is that Verstappen was complaining about understeer the entire race, and he tends to love oversteery cars and hate understeer with fervent, fiery passion. And Checo is the opposite. He prefers a stable, understeery cars that are not going to snap on him if he breathes on the throttle wrong. So it's possible that while the car may be getting worse for Verstappen, it's getting better for Perez. Because Perez did end up crashing out of qualifying in true Sergio Perez form. But he actually, even though I kind of sarcastically made that comment that he had a good race getting seventh, he actually did have a good race considering he started like 17th or something. So yeah, he had a brutal qualifying, but he actually made it work in the race. So very good stuff from Checo. The anti-Perez slander.
Yeah. On that note, I will say that Russell was right behind Perez in qualifying, was also right behind Perez in finishing order at the end of the race, too. So,
yeah, so it could have been strategy. Yeah. Could have been strategy. Could have been just a good drive by both of them. But, yeah, progress nonetheless. There were a lot of weird strategy mishaps this race. Daniel Ricciardo got screwed over. Alonso got screwed over.
What was the other strategy mishap, Nathan? Let's not talk about it.
Well, we're going to talk about it because that's why we're here. But I don't want to talk about it because I've never been more
Let's talk about McLaren's strategy for the Hungary Grand Prix.
Let's do it. So, Oscar Piastri leading by 2.5 seconds over Lando Norris in second place was just cruising along, minding his own business, when all of a sudden he looks behind him and no longer sees Lando Norris. That is because McLaren decided to take Norris into the pits a lap before Piastri to, air quotes, cover Hamilton. Not that it needed it. They were already way too far ahead for that to really be possible, for that undercut to really work. So essentially, they just had Norris undercut Piastri, which is exactly what happened. And So Norris took the lead of the race, and then McLaren came on the radio with Norris and said, hey, we messed up.
You need
up.
To save tires.
Yeah, you need to save tires everywhere, like literally everywhere. And
your
also
tires
fuel,
are
and
gone.
Also...
You don't have any more tires. You just pit and your tires are gone. You need to slow way down. For the only reason is because your tires are gone.
Yeah. They told him several times to slow down and let Piastri pass, to which he said, you should have pit him first then. just absolutely savaged by Lando Norris. It was a really interesting decision here. I would have felt so bad for Piastri if they had let Lando cruise off and win the race. However, I think letting Lando cruise off and win the race was the correct call for McLaren. Considering they were guaranteed a 1-2, essentially. No matter which driver won. And so nothing would have changed in the Constructors' Championship, and Lando would have gained an extra 7 points on Verstappen in the Drivers' Championship. So while that really would have sucked for Piastri, considering where the car is right now, I don't think this is Piastri's last opportunity to win a race this year, and probably next year too. Like, I really think that McLaren will win both championships in 25. With the trajectory they're on, they keep getting better. Yeah. They keep getting better. It's kind of nuts. They're the new Red Bull. Like, they got the field both cars by 10 seconds the end of the race. So, and this is a very different track than Silverstone, where they were also the best car, even though McLaren screwed that up too. So, considering you have a high speed, high power, fast corners track like Silverstone, where they're the fastest car, and then you go to Hungary, which is essentially an established track that is Monaco, close walls, tight 90 degree corners, slow corners, not a lot of long straights, not a lot of DRS zones, and they're even more dominant. Like, I don't know. I can't see McLaren not challenging for every single race for the rest of the season. Especially Spa.
It just felt so bad, like, the way they did it. It just felt weird.
Yeah. I don't think Piastri will have any trouble winning more races in the future, unless Lando just absolutely beats him down, but it did feel bad, and if I were Piastri, I would not have wanted to win my first Grand Prix like that, and I think that might be why he seemed a little underwhelmed coming over the line. Because honestly, if we think about this, considering how much faster Lando was, while supposedly saving tires, than Piastri on the last stint, it is likely that even if they pitted Piastri first, Lando probably would have still won the race. Now, where Lando, I think, messed up is I think he should have given Piastri the position back immediately and then raced him for the win. Because then he could say, I did what the team wanted. I gave Oscar his position back after he got undercut because the team messed up. So I handled my side of the bargain. And then he was 2.5 tenths a lap slower than me for the rest of the race. And so I passed him, and I won the race.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would have complained about
that. Completely feasible. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Lando, maybe his emotions got the best of him there. I can imagine while driving 200 miles an hour that it's kind of hard to think about things like that.
It's easy to also just get stuck in the situation too. Where it's like, oh, this situation sucks.
Right.
I
mean, you could tell. I mean, it was clear that he was fighting with himself, and he's like, he wants to be a team player, but at the same time, like, he's fighting for
a
championship
to win. Yeah.
He's not out of the drivers' championship hunt by any stretch, especially with Verstappen's form the last few races. If Verstappen is having mental breakdowns in the car and melting to pieces, he's probably going to crash a couple of times at some point for the rest of this year, especially if the car is borderline undrivable for him. I would not be surprised if we saw two, maybe three Verstappen DNFs before the end of the season. So Lando needs to pick up every single point he can get right now. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, call me a Lando fanboy, which is kind of what I am. But you can't just say I'm a, you know, I ride the hype train because I've been a McLaren fan for 4 years. So
ride or die. You're there for the Ricciardo era. The Ricciardo era.
Yep. And I supported Ricciardo while he was a McLaren driver.
Yep.
Much to my significant other's dismay, I guess.
Yeah. But Drive to Survive effect is very strong.
Yeah.
But so yeah, lots of drama. Imagine, yeah, being in Norris's shoes, the first, having that feeling of being the first driver in 3 years who could possibly touch Verstappen.
Yeah.
In terms of championship and feeling like your team's kind of throwing it away, that would be very frustrating.
Well, exactly. Like, he would have won Silverstone, but he came in fourth. So that is, what, 13 points that he lost?
Yeah.
He would have won Hungary, losing another 7 points. So he would already be 20 points ahead of where he is now and less than 60 points behind Verstappen. And that's just the last two races, not to mention Austria, where I can't remember exactly what happened, but I think he was in contention there too. So McLaren keeps shooting Norris in the foot, not themselves, not just themselves, but they're just like pointing the gun at Lando Norris's right foot and saying, haha, take this. So yeah, odd stuff. But I don't know why they made that decision other than they didn't want to make Piastri mad, but when Piastri was falling back by half a second a lap, I don't think he really had any space to be mad because Lando had to slow down when he was 10 seconds ahead of Piastri at the end of the race.
Yeah,
like, there was a 10-second gap. It was like, why are we swapping positions? It's clear that Lando's faster and deserves to win the race. So that's just my two cents. But yeah, moving into the championship, Norris edges a little bit closer to Verstappen, not as much as it could have been.
Norris, what's a little closer to Verstappen?
I don't want to talk about it.
Sorry, I've brain rot.
It's okay, we're both tired. Leclerc and Sainz are actually pretty close together. Leclerc with 162 and Sainz with 154. And then Piastri right on their heels with 149. So we can have a McLaren 2-3 here pretty soon.
I don't see the Ferraris answering anytime soon.
No.
There's no way.
Also notable, very, very notable, Sergio Perez has dropped from 6th to 7th place in the Drivers' Championship. And this is 6 places behind Max Verstappen, which, if you remember from last week, is one more place than the 5 places denoted in his contract to keep his seat. And he is much more than 100 points behind Verstappen. He is, in fact, 141 points behind Verstappen.
So,
Perez, right when the car might be coming back to him, is probably going to get punted after Spa, if I were to guess, because Spa is the last race before the summer break.
Really? You think that soon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Perez, oh. I can't see him finishing the season. I can't. Yeah, nope. It's probably going to be Ricciardo.
I guess it does seem more and more likely, especially the more unsettled Max gets. Red Bull might be looking for ways to claw back any points they can to stay in the lead of the Constructors' Championship.
Right.
They are currently 51 points ahead in.
And that is nothing in Constructors'
That's a
terms.
Bad day and a fastest lap by McLaren.
Essentially, yeah. McLaren could overtake Red Bull in theoretically 2 races. And Perez is single-handedly losing them the championship, the Constructors, which is really, if we think about F1 on a broad scale, the Constructors is the only one that matters.
That's where the money comes in.
That's where the money comes in, and that's where the development is decided, and yeah, so everyone cares about the drivers the most, but the Constructors, in terms of the logistical side of things, is the one that matters the most.
What if Red Bull is sandbagging their car so they get more wind tunnel time for next year?
You know, oh my goodness. Wait. Ben, you might be onto
What
something.
if? What if big brain moment, they're sandbagging so they can get, because they lost out on one tunnel time due to the whole budget thing, right?
Yes, so hold on, Ben, you might be uncovering the
Especially now that
biggest
they don't have
conspiracy theory
Adrian
ever.
Newey, their aero team and their design team is going to need every advantage they can get. You know what happened to the car right as soon as Newey left? Got worse. They realized, they knew.
It did.
They needed every advantage they could get for next year to stay just within a kiss of the Constructors' Championship lead for next year. Max Verstappen doesn't matter anymore. They need that money. They need that wind tunnel time. They need that development.
So you stay in second to get this to get a solid amount of prize money, but you get more wind tunnel time, which would be applied to the development of the 2026 car and the new
Right?
regulation. Ben, you might be onto something here.
I am a genius. I've
If
just
Sergio
thought of
Perez does
this.
not
It's
get
so
dropped,
obvious now.
if Perez doesn't get dropped in mid-season, I think you're right. That might be a little harsh, but anyway, so Constructors is very close. Ferrari is right behind McLaren, but I think it's more that McLaren just passed Ferrari.
Yeah,
Because
they're a
Ferrari was
steam train.
stronger. Yeah, Ferrari was stronger at the beginning of the season, but they have dropped off drastically. Mercedes is probably the third fastest. Mercedes might be the second fastest car at the moment behind McLaren. With Red Bull and Ferrari looking pretty similar, if I were to estimate where their actual pace is.
Yeah, I don't think Mercedes is. Do you think Mercedes could catch up to Ferrari by the end of the season? I don't know.
That is 81 points. Yes, I think they could.
Think, because
I
Ferrari hasn't exactly been inconsistent with at least getting points on the board.
That's true. So I'll say this, I think they could, but I think an 80-point gap between Ferrari and Mercedes is a lot larger than an 80-point gap between Red Bull and McLaren, even though it's not 80 points, but just as
That's
an
a good
example,
point.
because McLaren has two drivers and Red Bull has a half a driver.
Great for
That's
marketing, though.
too far.
Lots of marketing money.
Yes, so Red Bull
Personally.
is, I think Red Bull is around Ferrari in terms of true pace. I'm shocked that Aston Martin is as high up as they are, but I think they scored most of their points at the beginning of the season.
As is tradition.
As is tradition. That's pretty much the only reason why, but Aston Martin doesn't even look like the fifth fastest car right now.
I'm honestly shocked that Haas hasn't passed RB yet.
I think Haas and RB are pretty competitive where they are right now. Alpine and Williams are pretty competitive together. It's hard to say where everybody is, but I think Aston Martin is behind Haas and RB in terms of pace. It seems that way.
Old.
But I don't know. It's hard to know. They're pretty close, I think, actually. But all right. That rounds off F1. Let's move into the Pit Stop Championship
Got
and
3 minutes
wrap up this
left.
episode. Yeah, no, it's okay. Pit Stop Championship. In first place this week was Daniel Ricciardo with a time of 2.01 seconds. Followed by Perez, Ocon, Gasly, Russell, Hamilton, Verstappen, Norris, and Sainz. Slowest pit stop was the Haas driver of Kevin Magnussen at 3.14 seconds, which actually is not a super slow fastest pit stop. I mean, it is, but it's not like atrocious, like 4+ seconds, like we've seen from some Sauber drivers this year. All right, standings, not much has changed. I think Perez leapfrogged Verstappen again to take first place in the championship. And then Red Bull still way out in front, as always. I don't think there was any movement in the Constructors' Pit Stop Championship since last episode. Overtake of the week, I gave this to Joseph Newgarden because he overtook seven cars in one pass around the outside on lap 40 of the Hy-Vee Home Front 250. If you get a chance to watch the extended highlights of that, it was the first Iowa race this year. I think 2 or 3 minutes in, they cut to Newgarden just on a restart, sending it around literally seven drivers.
Yep, right after that high line had been cleaned off a little bit.
So very good stuff from Joseph Newgarden, Mr. Anonymous this year.
Yeah.
It's weird saying that about the Indy 500 winner, but here we are.
Indy 500 would mean more if it was still double points. That's all I got to say about that.
This is true. He would probably be in championship contention still. Where's he at in the championship? Newgarden is in 8th place at 266. If he had double points, he'd be around Kyle Kirkwood. So really, actually, never mind. He would not be in championship contention. But he'd be fighting for 7th instead of solidly in 8th place. all right. Now, our predictions. We got a few of these to go through, so we'll try to be brief. I don't think I'll flash graphics up on the screen this week, so listen carefully.
Yeah, I'll spell and enunciate very well.
We're going to bullet through this.
Yeah, okay.
And the graphics might make people nauseous. So, pole position, we'll enunciate. For the first race in Iowa, went to Colton Herta. What did you say, Ben?
I had Dixon.
And I had Newgarden. It was not Newgarden. Podium was McLaughlin, O'Ward, and Newgarden. What did you say, Ben?
I had Newgarden. I also had Dixon, Erickson. They were nowhere.
Yes, I had Newgarden, and I had Polo and O'Ward. O'Ward also was on the podium in the first race, I believe. Yes, duh. That's what it says,
yep.
Nathan.
It's green.
Brain.
Yep.
Brain works, yes. Polo, here, me thinking I'm cool digging into my memory when I'm reading it right in front of me. Polo ended up not finishing the race. All right, winning number of pit stops. We were a little off on this one, Ben.
Crazy.
It was 2 pit stops. What did you say?
How does that work? How does that work?
Hmm.
Is it just such a short track?
I think so. I seem to recall the last few years it's been like, yeah, 4 or 5 pit stops, but this year it was not. It was probably 2 last time and we just forgot. But
you're just schizophrenic.
It was 2 pit stops. What did you say, Ben?
I put 4.
I put 5. I thought that might have been a bit much, but it was a bit much. All right. Second race in Iowa, pole position went to Scott McLaughlin. What did you say, Ben?
I had Dixon.
And I had Newgarden. Podium was Power, Polo, McLaughlin. What did you say?
I had O'Ward, Erickson, and Polo. Erickson letting me down again.
I had O'Ward, Dixon, and Power. So I got Power right. And you got Polo right. Erickson having... I think that number 28 car might just be cursed, but...
Colton Herta has officially passed the curse on to him.
you mean Grosjean? Or are you talking just Andretti in general?
Just Andretti in general.
Okay, that's fair. Winning number of pit stops, once again, considering it was the same exact race, was 2 pit stops. What did you say, Ben?
I had 4.
And I had 5. Nothing changes. All right. Toronto. Pole position went to Colton Herta in that number 27 car. What did you say, Ben?
Wow, you and I both had Polo.
Is the 27 or the 26? He's in the 26. I lied to you. It was, you had Polo, it was Herta, and I had Polo, it was Herta. Podium was Herta, Kirkwood, and Dixon. What'd you say?
I had Rossi, Herta, and Dixon. Rossi was probably not even in Toronto. Well, maybe he
probably
was.
Not. Maybe. Actually, I think he injured himself in practice or qualifying, so he might have been there. I had Lundgaard, Polo, and Rossi, so both of us had a driver on the podium that didn't even drive in the race.
The Lundgaard call-out was so bold, and I respect you so much for it, but...
Yeah, it didn't pan out. Winning number of pit stops was 2. What did you say?
I had 3.
And I had 2. All right, Hungarian Grand Prix in Formula 1. Top 5, to remind everybody, was Piastri, Norris, Hamilton, Leclerc, and Verstappen. And I am so proud of myself right now.
Oh my gosh. But, things are bad for me in this one.
What did you say, Ben?
I had Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, and Russell with Tsunoda as my dark horse. And Norris, I only got right because of... Well, we already talked about it.
Yeah. I actually, my top 5 was Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, Russell, and Hulkenberg as my dark horse. So I got Piastri, Norris, and Leclerc right.
Man, we even just talked about it, and I forgot that Leclerc came in 4th.
Yeah. I can't believe I called the McLaren 1-2 with Piastri winning. Like
insane.
I was a shot in the dark last week, but it panned out.
And the fact that you put Verstappen too high.
Yeah, right?
You fool, what were you thinking?
If I switched Russell and Hamilton and then swapped those two drivers, I would have had an immaculate top five. which I feel like Russell and Hamilton are pretty interchangeable this year.
Yeah, Hamilton, although I think that delta is starting to grow a little more.
Yeah, I think Hamilton's starting to get the advantage on Russell there. All right, fastest lap went to George Russell. Speaking of which, what did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri.
And I had Verstappen. Driver of the day went to Oscar Piastri. What did you say, Ben?
I had North. I had the wrong McLaren driver.
And I had the right McLaren driver. I had Piastri, and I got that one right.
Do you think Norris would have gotten first if he had won? Or driver of the day?
No. Piastri would have. Piastri was locked in on driver of the day. He was up by like 25 points.
It was worth a shot.
But, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Belgian Grand Prix for next week. Give me your top five, Ben.
All right. I'm on the Norris train. I got Norris, Verstappen, Piastri, Hamilton, and Perez. I'm putting Perez a little higher up. I'm still not giving up on Verstappen. I think there might still be a little bit left. We'll see. And then I have Albon as my dark horse.
Nice. Almost picked Albon, but I didn't. My top five are Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Leclerc, and Sainz with Ricciardo as my dark horse. Ooh. All right. Fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
I have Norris for this one.
And I have Hamilton. Driver of the day.
I have Hamilton.
I have Leclerc. Okay, it is time for everybody's favorite segment, Ben's Words of Wisdom. What do you got for us today, Ben?
Youth stuff is super cool, and it's kind of a fun way to find new hobbies. If you go to like St. Vinny's or Goodwill or something like that. Have I ever shared advice like this yet? It doesn't matter. I'm going to share it anyways. And you see something cool, you know, like I went to St. Vinny's and found a pair of like a set of five speakers for like $40. And I was like, oh, this would be kind of cool. And that's cheap enough that I could like feasibly get into it without going broke or really like going through any financial hardship to put it together. And now I'm in like $100 into like $1,000 worth of audio equipment just because, you know, you can look for old used stuff that still works. And especially stuff like speakers, like speakers are speakers. There are some great speakers that you can get that were made in like the 70s.
The golden era of amplification.
Yep. Back when everything weighed as much of a bus when it came to amplifying speakers. But yeah, it's kind of cool. It doesn't have to necessarily be just for speakers, but it's an example of how you can use the used market and just find old, good condition stuff that everybody's upgraded out of and build your own new thing that you can enjoy until you're ready to move on and you have a bit more cash for the real thing.
Good stuff, Ben. Love it. All right. That rounds off the episode for this week. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and listening. If you enjoyed the episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want an updated standings chart for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials and we will probably feature it on the next episode. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2n_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere there are social media things at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Belgian Grand Prix at everybody's favorite F1 track, who plays the F1 game. And until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.